Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it's now or never. And I actually had a great opportunity this weekend to actually speak to, there was quite a few patriots on a Georgia call. And it was an opportunity, actually it was hosted by the Constitution Party. The chair was kind of coordinating. He was the host or the MC or what have you. But his name is Ricardo Davis. And actually it's the first time I've been kind of in a video or meeting him. We've sent a few emails back and forth. And I really look forward to actually nurturing this relationship and expanding quite a bit in Georgia. As a matter of fact, we've been having a lot of success in helping reach people regarding petitions and engagement, what to do and how to get engaged. But anyway, this is our special Game Changer episode, and this might be our last, because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get through. And the reason why this is a special game changer is because, you know, I sent out an article to the state legislatures in January, and I basically quantified what we're going through, and nobody else can argue with this. I mean, the fact is, our government is exercising warfare against us, and I'm not talking about just simple warfare. I'm talking about broad spectrum warfare. If they were doing just a couple of these things to a foreign entity, there would be bullets flying, especially a hostile nation like China at this point in time. See, we could have got away with this in the 90s with China. We could have gotten away with this in the early 2000s with China. But since we have been building up China's military to be able to take, you know, the world to the next level, because that's a part of the globalist plan, is to, they've got to have somebody that's going to help enforce. And so the conversion, and this is going to be amazing. If this actually happens in America, this will be amazing, because many of these kids that are being weaponized will become a part of the, like Hitler's brown shirts. They will become a part of the what's the best word for it? The occupying force, or the, you know, because they will speak English, because you know, China may have a military, you know, formidable military, but they don't have the expertise in warfare. They are on an accelerated rate, and they need to actually engage in warfare a few times, because there's a lot of little things that you have to learn. But, you know, if you really feel like you have superior technology, you have superior warfare machinery and mechanisms and personnel, then you believe you can take on anything. But let me just say this. How many times have you actually touched something, operated something that was made in China, and were very disappointed? Remember, their military was made in China. So I'm just giving you the straightforward scoop. So we'll actually dive into the warfare tactics. We've kind of covered quite a few of them, and I'll do a quick review of that. But before I do, one of the things I want to, or two things I want to mention, is next Monday, if we actually finish today, next Monday, I want to go through the presidential election. It'll be a presidential election episode. So this way we can start going through the issues, and we can actually compare and contrast what the primary issues are, other than pointing fingers and denigrating each other, you know, and, you know, mudslinging, that type of stuff. But I think it's really important to actually dive into the issues. I think it's really important to look at each of these individuals and start to point out how they may seem conservative, but they're not constitutional. And so I believe we have to start driving. This is why we're doing these petitions as well, folks. We're trying to drive our politics at the local level and our state level towards the Constitution. We have to do the same thing in our federal elections. And if we're not doing that, especially regarding the presidency, then we're really failing. So hopefully, if we get through this today, then next Monday will be the positions, issues, and so forth, all things presidential. Now, remember, I've had this standing question. What does America deserve as far as a president? Do we deserve a president that is going to basically seek, you know, vengeance upon our enemy? Or do we actually deserve a president that is going to do something different? Because right now, it seems like the conservative side, now we've all seen the progressive side constantly seek vengeance and constantly just decimate. I mean, I'll just say that decimate anybody out there that they perceive as their enemy. I mean, we see this all the time. And as a matter of fact, they use the January 6th petition as it was poorly executed petition, but they still used it as a message to send to say, you don't think you're untouchable in America? You think you have rights? Think again. So that in itself only speaks to how far they have gotten and the way they feel so emboldened regarding our, you know, this warfare that they're waging at us. Now, the last thing I want to kind of mention, and this kind of comes back as feedback. I should have mentioned this last Friday, but I didn't, and I apologize. But so this is a go back on feedback. So Cynthia, I've mentioned her before. Cynthia listens to the show on a regular basis, and she's very, very supportive in so many different ways. And I'm so blessed to have listeners like you. I truly am. So to get into what she made a recommendation, and I think it's worthy of sharing. There is a pretty interesting organization, and I believe it's in Utah, she mentioned. I'm not sure. But the name of the organization is United Precious Metals Association. United Precious Metals Association. Actually, I'm going to do something more than just tell you about it. I'm going to put the link up. And so that way, and I'm just forgive me for writing this note, but I want to remember to do this. And so we want to put a link up on Reclaiming the Republic, and we'll do this on the Take Action page, and I'll put it right up there at the top with the Monic stuff. What we want to do and what we need to do is we need to help you understand that, you know, there's all sorts of important information that we, you know, we need to provide each other and start sharing. And this United Precious Metals Association has a really interesting alternative in, you know, how you can kind of own gold and metal so that they actually become a repository and they actually hold it for a purpose of giving you credit. Now, the interesting thing when I'm looking at this, and I need to get back with Cynthia, but before I do, I want to kind of do the due diligence. What happens? So you may be possessing silver and gold, and the United Precious Metals Association, what they do is they hold your gold and they put that into, and they basically, when you deposit it, it goes into a self-funded credit card so that you can spend that, you know, instead of actually having to carry it around and spend it that way. Now, I think that's a very interesting, you know, way to kind of protect yourself and hold on to a credit card. In other words, I don't think that credit card would ever, I don't think it would ever expire, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the institution, you know, some of the details. But if we weren't moving to a new currency altogether, then, you know, because it will be a Visa, right? Now, the question is, when we go to a digital currency, will that actually, because you got to remember that when the communism infiltration gets into big tech, it gets into big business and all of this, they're all doing their diligent part. In other words, banks have been co-opted, or I should say banks are a big part of the globalist agenda. So one would think it would be antithetical if you were actually in business to make money, if you're actually in business to operate under that business model, it would be antithetical to that business to actually, you know, surrender itself to communism. However, if you have ideologues that are driving that business, which is why you see so many companies coming out with the woke agenda, they're at the verge of becoming state markets, state businesses, if you understand what I'm saying. In other words, they're okay with, you know, the whole stock market going away. You got to understand that the stock market itself is antithetical, that once they capture all of the money and once they have everything, then they can control all of the wealth, not just play with the market and steal a little bit from you. They will control all of it. So anyway, when we go to this new, you know, what is it, Unicoin or whatever the digital currency is that FedNow is going to be pushing, when that happens and when it's finally enforced and transitioned where this will be the only currency allowed, this is why every state in the union needs to ensure that in their constitution, they only allow gold and silver coins. So that digital currency coin that we have, and I've got to go back to Patrick and kind of help him understand what we need to do, because we actually need to mirror that one petition and bolster it as well. And Patrick was the guy that helped, design and build that petition. And so what we need to do is we need to basically clone that petition and make one similar to states that do not have or have not had a digital currency petition. And in that one, instead of naming names and basically stop and trying to stop the state legislature from making that, we would just want to make sure that in this other one, we make sure that they amend the Constitution. They put forth an amendment for the people to vote on to guarantee that only gold and silver coin is the legal tender for the payment of debt in accordance with the Constitution. And so anyway, as we go down this path of migrating in, check out United Precious Metals, because they do offer a pretty interesting thing as long as our currency stay the same. But I'm not sure what will happen. Like I said, when we go to this digital currency, are they going to actually generate another type of card that will operate on, or will they convert your card, or will that form? Because I honestly see that when we go to the digital currency, credit cards won't be necessary anymore. As a matter of fact, they'll eventually start giving you phones. Eventually, your phone will become a controlled item of the state. The whole cell phone services, there's a reason why we have been actually protected from this next warfare tactic that we're going to get into. And you're going to actually maybe see the correlation here. And when I say protected from, not protected from the harm, but protected from understanding, because remember, ignorance is bliss. Understanding how harmful these 5G phones are, even 4G phones emit a good amount of current or a good amount of EMF. And so I actually have, we're going to go into break. And so when we hit the break, I'll run into the other room, because I believe I've got the box for what I purchased. And I would recommend, if you want to actually start going around your house and you want to be a local authority, I'm using air quotes here, so that you can actually take this measurement tool. It's like a Geiger counter, and it'll actually measure the types of EMFs. I told you I was going to try to do a video. It's going to be a little difficult. I'm actually going to need to, get some help or something like that, to where I can kind of walk around and, you know, show you one phone from the other phone, you know, how much they emit when they're dormant and how much they emit when they're actually communicating via cell and what have you. And just remember, you're putting this thing next to your head. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had quite a few friends, a friend, a former Marine friend, an associate, who had a huge tumor just all of a sudden show up in the base of his head and neck that actually was going to kill him. And they basically had to remove this tumor. I mean, it was a huge, you know, because it was right there next to his artery going into his head. And, I mean, the guy was this close to dying. I mean, the risks and everything else that they had to do to go in there to clean up that tumor. And so he had to learn kind of to talk all over again. I have another friend that basically has been hospitalized. I mean, this friend of ours, this lady, she's too old to be put into a hospital. And it's not brain cancer. It is just a tumor that it is inoperable because it's basically made her, you know, non-cognitive. I mean, it's just like, folks, there is a high rash of tumors that we're starting to see and other problems that are being affected by this exposure to such high intense, I'll just say these EMFs, this electromagnetic frequency that's coming from your phones. So this goes right in line with this electronic warfare. Now, before I jump into electronic warfare, remember, this is all about this broad spectrum warfare. I covered cyber warfare. Remember, and I know I'm only scratching at the surface, and so I want to do a quick go back. When I talked about cyber warfare, I talked about how cyber warfare was being used in our elections, our voting systems, social media, and so forth. And I also went back and did another go back on cyber warfare a little while ago regarding artificial intelligence type of warfare, censoring and falsifying essential documents and so forth. I mean, again, I'm only scratching the surface here in covering how they're using these things to control, manipulate, and attack us. Now, when we look at cyber warfare today, cyber warfare, one of the things that I hadn't said, but most people already know this, but it's time we start connecting the dots, because as we connect all of the dots, even though GR's only scratching the surface, we're pointing out how many dots belong on this page so that when you connect them, you can clearly see how broad spectrum are, and you can actually see the government's involvement in this. Now, when we look at cyber warfare, now let's actually get into how cyber warfare is commonly executed by a military force. A military force does hacking. A military force comes in and steals data. A military force, you know, finds vulnerabilities and, you know, basically prosecutes or exploits those vulnerabilities. I mean, I've actually had this show. This show has been affected more than any other show that I know of on Red State. And this show itself has been shut down through... bottom line, when I can't connect to the server that broadcasts this show, well, typically the reasons for that is either some malfunctions happening or a denial of service. And, you know, when you talk a lot about China does not. They do not like anything that is disparaging. Remember, their social credit system is based on, you know, basically denigrating you and diminishing your social value by treating you like a dog if you're not accepting what they're giving you. And so cyber warfare, when we talk about NSA spying, we've already heard Snowden just, you know, violate our national security and everything else of how they spy on our foreign entities, and also talk about the methods and methodologies that they use on basically spying on us. You got to understand that's only a tip of the iceberg. When we look at how big tech has been giving the federal government the everything, like Amazon has been sharing. When you go shop, when you are logged into Amazon and you're looking for things they actually share. And in the 90s, you know, they basically used your account. Nowadays, now that they have actually improved their tracking ability, they use your digital footprint. So you don't even have to be logged in to feel like you're really safe, because they can still monitor you by your digital footprint. If you have a digital footprint that they have some traceability, in other words, if you actually walk into a library and you're using the library, going to Amazon and doing searches in Amazon without any, you know, connection to, you know, you being there, then they don't know you're doing that. But if you have a phone and you've created all the loops, you've connected all the dots for them with your phone, and as well as your home system, because if you have accounts on your home system and on your phone, and even though you may think there's separations, the reality is that connection that you have, that you use for your phone, and the same connections you use on your computer, they're pretty smart folks. They, as a matter of fact, you'd think they'd have to be stupid not to already be there to be able to connect those dots. That little bit of signature footprint that you've created on your phone is quickly attached to your home computer, and now big tech is actually monitoring and watching what you're doing. They use Google Chrome. They use so many different applications, especially the apps that are designed. And I want to say Python and a lot of these types of codes that they use, you know, they have backdoors in these things. And this is how, you know, they're able to spy. As a matter of fact, there's just a lot of apps that don't even know what's going on, but they comply to Google standards. And in so doing, this compliance actually opens these back doors. So when we look at cyber warfare, the fact that everything you do is being monitored is an absolute violation of your Fourth Amendment right. So, in other words, big tech, when I tell you corporations in America cannot violate your civil rights, if they're spying on you, they have no right to do that. They say that you signed these agreements, but remember, no state, the 14th Amendment says no state can make or enforce any law. So that law on contracts that say you can surrender your civil rights, they can't enforce that. They cannot. They've been getting away with enforcing that. But bottom line, when it comes down to the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, your state cannot enforce any law, even that big tech has done in contracts, to hold you liable. As a matter of fact, big tech is the one that is violating the Constitution. We actually have a petition that will help open your eyes on this, and it's our petition number 4 on our petition page, and it's a petition that kind of is designed to go after, I think in this we may be using Walmart, but it goes after any type of company operating in your state. And guess what? Google, Amazon, all of these companies, even though they may not have a brick and mortar presence, if they're online and doing transactions with you, whether it's being Google search or what, that's a transaction, folks. You click on a link, somebody's getting paid. 9 times out of 10, all of the links that you will see have some kind of pay. There's the paid advertising, and they're still click to pay. And so this is how Google has become this monster. So fact of the matter is, Google has been operating and performing transactions in your state, and your state has never been compensated for those transactions for operating. Oh, well, that's because the internet is free. Well, actually, that's up to the states, and the states can enforce that, and the states can actually go after Google for fining them. The same thing with Facebook, same thing with social media, all of these platforms. The day of reckoning is coming. And so when we look at what we have and what we can actually do at the state level, we can reel these companies in. And as long as they're doing transactions, I mean, this is sneaky, folks. They're making money without even reporting it to your states. But This is all a part of this cyber warfare. That's also economic warfare. If you start connecting the dots, some of these warfares are tied with others. We'll be right back after this. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. So it's kind of interesting when we start looking back at some of the things that they have using, or some of the cyber warfare tactics that they use is actually connected to other cyber warfare tactics, such as, you know, this, you know, chemical airborne warfare and so forth, that actually has economic impacts. So in a way, they may be doing one type of warfare that actually supports another type of warfare. In other words, you know, economic. And so when we look at the electronic warfare, this actually works directly with your cyber warfare. It directly works with a lot of other things. And they use these things. In other words, this one weapon that they use, like your cell phone, how is it a weapon? Well, it's a weapon because it does physical harm to you. When you start looking at the rays, or the EMF that is coming off of this device, and as a matter of fact, I'm holding in my hand the meter that I would recommend. This is made in the USA, by the way, and it's called the Trifield EMF Meter Model TF2. It's a small little device, then it'll actually show you. And so what you need to do is you need to read, I haven't even read the manual on it, but I've actually turned it on and held it over and next to devices and can see there's a big jump from a 4G phone to a 5G phone. And I haven't even taken it out to my smart meter, but there's no doubt in my mind, we already know those things are transmitting. So how much emission is coming off of your transmitter? Just if you maybe put it next to an electronic circuit, you might find some type of EMF as well. You'll find EMFs coming off of your microwave. You'll find EMFs coming off of your lights. So there are EMFs, but this breaks down, you know, this will actually show you what those are, but it doesn't necessarily break down their uniquenesses in what they do. And so there are differences between some EMFs and others because of their frequencies. So some frequencies are even more harmful than others. And there's a really good book I would recommend. It was written by Orlean Kolk. She's the president of the Eagle Forum, I believe. I don't believe it's plural. And actually, if I go to Reclaiming the Republic, and I go down to, I think it's important info, and if you go through this, you'll probably find, no, it's not important info, it's probably other links. Where is it? Let me see. I had important info, other links is where I actually put all of this other information. And on other links, you can actually find Orlean Kolk's book that I would recommend you buy. It's called Whoa Nelly, 5G Dangers and Deception of Powerful New Wireless Technology, because they're operating in such a way that if you read this book and you have children, or if your children have children, And they have given their children cell phones. If you understand the harm that is coming from these phones, in the old days, that would be tantamount to child abuse. And so, I mean, because you're actually putting something harmful in your children's hands. But today it's acceptable because the government wants you to have these phones. The government suppresses the danger that comes from these phones. And as a matter of fact, in this book, Orlean actually identifies and gives you the details of how they go about suppressing this and how they attack you if you try to actually, you know, help inform people of this stuff. If you go to your local cell phone Verizon store or whatever store you go to get their phone, you ask them what kind of dangers come, you know, this thing, I hear there's some dangers with the EMF or what have you. Oh, they can't even tell you. If they actually start talking and openly talking, they themselves could be fired. And these are like violations of the FCC. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Read the book. The book will actually show you how they're disguising the warfare so that you don't even know. But the fact of the matter is that the implementation of 5G and the continued suppression of the health adversities caused from damaging effects of the electromagnetic energy waves that have, you know, this harmful effect on humans and other living organisms is absolutely unacceptable. But that's what I put in my email that went out to the state legislatures. What I didn't include, because they actually have more electronic warfare than just that. There's this thing called DEW, which is a direct energy warfare weapons. It's a direct energy weapon. And so this is a warfare weapon where they can actually transmit raw electricity, raw energy from one transmitter. They'll bounce it off of the Earth's stratosphere, atmosphere, what have you, because the atmospheres actually, you know, create these little shields or these little, you know, that's how AM radio works. That's how FM radio works. They'll actually transmit and they bounce off of the atmosphere. So in other words, technically, if you think you're getting your radio signal, you know, because it's you're getting a direct connection, that's not true. These electronic transmissions actually bounce off the atmosphere and they bounce off objects and so forth. So you're picking up and how fast does electricity fly? I mean, this stuff, you know, transmits and travels through the air at a, you know, this incredible. Go look at light speed. Light speed is basically the speed of light as well as electricity. I mean, the speed of electricity is almost the same. It's these electromagnetic, and when I say electronic transmissions, it's basically traveling at the speed of light. It is so fast that this is why your antenna and your receiver, there's no latency from all of these signals. At least you don't even notice it at all because they're all, you know, this bombardment in the local area. And, you know, it may have several miles to it, but it doesn't matter. You know, as you get away from that transmitter, the you know, you're still within these reflections of the signal coming off the mountains or what have you that are still coming in. In all intents and purposes, these transmissions are reaching your antenna at the same time. And so, because it's happening so fast. And so when we look at, you know, electronic warfare, yeah, so radio waves, television waves, all these things that are transmitted, well, that's technically, you know, an electronic transmission is kind of harmful, but not nearly. Not nearly. I mean, remember the days when you heard about people wrapping themselves up in aluminum foil so that they weren't being affected by all these transmissions? That has gone by the wayside. As a matter of fact, they make fun of people like that. But bottom line, they are covering this stuff up. And when we look at electronic weapons, these DEWs, this direct electronic energy that they're bouncing off of the atmosphere, that will come down. And there has been very strong evidence that some of the fires that have happened in California were done by dews. In other words, when you look at how this fire ripped through this neighborhood, and it literally just went from, you know, one block all the way straight through. I mean, it was like a direct path, like a laser beam did this. And that wasn't a laser beam. That was direct energy. Now, you got to understand that what is a laser beam? It is direct energy. But this is high voltage electricity, or I should say energy, that actually heats things up to a degree where that instantly bursts into flames. And so as this, you know, just path kind of clears through and destroys all of these homes, how is this being done? Is it being done off of a ship? Is it being done from an aircraft? Now, an aircraft, that's a lot of electricity. It would actually have to have a power plant to do that. So it's either coming from the ground or it's coming from ships. And so bottom line, folks, the evidence that we have when we look at dews and how they've actually been used, there is very strong evidence. I'm not going to say irrefutable, but there is very strong evidence that you cannot dismiss the fact that dew energies can be used and possibly have been used in America against us as they test and develop. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Well, did they drop atom bombs in America? Well, yeah, but they stopped doing that because the people said, hey, we found out that this stuff is harmful, that there's really bad effects to this radiation and half-life and everything else. I mean, how many people traverse through those testing areas today when there's still a high level of radiation? When you fly through those things, anyway, fact of the matter is that they're using electronic warfare tactics, and we have to actually be, they're suppressing this information so that it can be used against you. The next one is, you know, the old obvious psyops or what have you, information operations and warfare, which is basically misinformation or direct spying on Americans. And so, you see, this again is tied to the cyber warfare. This is, again, is tied to other types of warfare, using propaganda as weapons, like using the news system, using the education system, as well as using money to extort specific outcomes in scientific data that supports the need for government regulations and control. Climatology, you know, the pandemic, you know, who was I talking to? There was, So, out of Virginia, Woody was actually writing an article where he was talking about the Dominion voting machines and so forth. And this was an article that was going to the editor. And the editor basically said, I'm not going to print this because the evidence is proven that the, you know, Dominion machines aren't bad, that there's no evidence of that. In other words, the paper is using a filter only accepting the mass media evidence when they're completely rejecting all of the other scientific evidence that's proving this. It's the same thing that they did with the pandemic. So in other words, they use their own data that gives them their outcome so that they can suppress your information. And so what you can do is, in this particular case, if you have your own web page, and you actually have communications back and forth, and you've tried to provide the editor, you know, this information, then you can actually print that into a document so that you can post the information just to prove that your local newspaper is suppressing information. So in other words, you can write a really good academic article that goes down the path. Now, this takes time to do. But if you really want to start proving, as far as I'm concerned, most everybody already knows, at least on one side of the aisle, most everybody knows you can't trust the mainstream media, even your local papers. They're all grinding this agenda. So it doesn't take much to do that. And so I don't think you have to go down the path. You know, you just have to kind of, and I'll just say, it's like a glance. It's like a grazing or a just light swiping, you know, sending them an article to get them to reject it, to actually create another argument to say, you know, we actually know that there is other evidence that these guys refuse to actually accept. And instead of being objective, because see, freedom of the press is freedom of the press. And you have a right to publish these things, and you may be fully liable. But the bottom line is, because you're liable if you've lied or what have you. Go look at the law of, you know, liable for writing an article. Now, if you write the article objectively, then they, you know, there should be no problem with liability, because you can point out, he says, well, this, interestingly enough, we have this evidence on one side that seems that this is a legitimate voting system, but there's all this conflicting evidence that's coming from all these other scientific sources. So which is true? Do we just trust that stuff that fits the narrative of the propaganda machine? Or do we need to actually say, you know what, let's get it all on the table? At what point in time? Because when we talk about information wars, the only way to actually, you know, thwart this type of stuff is to get everything on the table and say, look, your information is not the dominant information. All information gives us the ability to make dominant information. In other words, when you have conflicting information, then you don't have a dominant information. Oh, well, we favor these scientists over these scientists. Because bottom line, if they're using scientific principles, then you can get to the truth. So that's why you have to look at how did they derive their data? You know, was there funding behind this? And so forth and so on. So this is how you can actually go through this. This is a lot of effort. So who needs to do this? Well, I honestly believe that the people can do this. I've actually submitted, and basically it is in the Bill of Rights for the 21st century that we need to actually start creating juries to review our media. We need to have, just like we have juries for crimes, you know, in the court system, we need to have a jury of the people to determine whether we, you know, believe, because right now they're going unattested. And when a local newspaper is basically judged by the peers of the people in the local community of whether they're a propaganda mill or not, based on certain standards of journalism, now we can actually hold their feet to the fire. Folks, we need to start regulating this thing we call the press, or actually what we call the media platforms. We want to be very clear that your newspaper is not the press. Remember, you are the press. The freedom of speech and of the press cannot be abridged. And so bottom line, that means you. But when it comes down to a platform that is paying people to say, I'm not going to take that, go make it this way, or we're not going to print it, then now you have a propaganda mill, and it is not the press, nor does it deserve freedom and protection based on the Constitution, because it isn't objective. It is not trying to provide you the truth. It is trying to provide you a narrative to manipulate you. And again, this is all a part of information operations and warfare tactics. The next one is kind of an interesting warfare tactic, and it's called proxy wars. This is where one government, like, you know, the United States government, gets other states or non-government organizations, corporations, and or businesses to create laws and policies of tyranny and actually get into warfare. In other words, you can have a proxy. So what is a proxy? A proxy vote means somebody is doing something in your behalf. Now, 9 times out of 10, you know that somebody's doing something in your behalf. But can you have an anonymous or a secret proxy? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we can see how China uses proxy warfare by every country that they have co-opted. Those countries do China's bidding. In other words, these people are slaves of China and the country itself, and if they don't tout the line, China will come in and, you know, knock some heads together and, you know, get rid of people, have a coup, clean up shop, and then, you know, seek more operatives that will actually do the proxy wars on behalf of China. The United States has done this too. And we have no business doing this, but that's a direct warfare. We want to actually help you understand proxy warfare, because when the federal government started actually creating rules for businesses to say, you can't have a federal contract unless your company endorses and actually has policies in protecting the LGBT agenda, the homosexual agenda of marriage and all these other things. And I'll tell you what, I worked for a company that, you know, actually was one of the leaders in jumping on board with all of the woke policies. You know, woke was woke long time before the word woke came out. Because the global businesses, you'd think that they were doing this because it was good for business. No. It was forced upon them, and or they were very willing participants because they were a part of the game. The company I worked for was BAE Systems, and that is a very large British-owned, it's like the world's largest government contracting company. Literally, it is one of the world's largest government. They build ships, they build all sorts of weaponry, systems, and so forth. Go look up BAE Systems, and you'll look and find that in the 2000s, they literally started integrating policies. This is in the early 2000s, they took away the retirement plan for their employees. So basically, they forced everything to go into, you know, or capped it into an annuity so that you couldn't get any more. And so, you know, as soon as they did this, I realized that my days were good, would be numbered, just due to the fact that there was a cap on what I could walk away from for a retirement. And so, you know, when was I going to be eligible? Because bottom line, when you get into that space of, you know, talking about retirement, then what you need to do is you need to say, you know, at this age, when I can retire from this company, I should be able to actually go and do something else to augment myself. And so when I hit that age, I said, okay, what is my best exit criteria? So you have to start devising these exit criteria. But bottom line, I get back to proxy warfare because I'm going down a rat hole. When we start looking at proxy warfare, don't think that what these woke companies are doing is not a part of proxy warfare. It is all, you know, so it's biting folks. It's biting them bad, because what does homosexuality and this perversion have to do with a beer product? What does it have to do with a Coke product? When we start looking at all the companies that have gone broke, or I should say woke, some of them have been far more adversely affected, and the day that they're starting to do it now, they're, you know, because more and more people are wise to this wokeness. Hey, folks, let's not forget all the other companies, Nike. Let's not forget Coke. Let's not forget all of the woke brands and companies out there. Now, because we've walked away, or because we poked them in the eye and said, okay, but look at what Coke is still doing. They're still doing it. They're still woke. So is Nike. So if you're going to start boycotting, you just have to understand that all of these companies, you know, are inflicting these types of policies either through their marketing schemes and or what have you, or they're inflicting these policies upon their employees and so forth. So this is all what we would call a proxy war, where these NGOs, governments themselves, you know, start using other players to doing their bidding. So I know, as I've had lots of friends in different positions and different types of circumstances with different employers, I have a lot of friends that have basically come back to me and said, I can't even talk about this stuff anymore. I mean, I don't even feel safe speaking with you either on the phone or feel safe speaking with you in a, you know, a messenger or any form of communication at all, because they don't trust Facebook. They don't trust, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't. You can't trust these guys if you're in a position where you can be exploited, fired, and actually decimated. Then you have to be very careful. And so here's the interesting thing. I have friends that have told me that they can't talk to me, and I have friends that don't talk to me anymore. The difference is that when a friend is not even talking to me, won't even have anything to do with me, then they're already woke. In other words, they've had to cross that line to say, look, if I have an association with you, then, you know, I'm already going to be decimated. Or they've crossed that line to say, I now understand what you're doing, and I do not align with that anymore. I've walked the line, and I've crossed it, and I'm a part of that. So in other words, because I've had limited communications with a lot of my friends, I've actually had to realize that I can't have communications anymore. So a lot of people have asked, well, why is it that you have actually surrendered and changed your cell phone and some of these other communications? Folks, because I understand that these folks have crossed, you know, you can't believe that they haven't. You know, even though you think you know the characters, go watch The Sound of Music and watch the relationship between the young daughter of the Trapp family with that young German boy who then got involved in the Nazi movement and eventually changed his position to where he was willing to call out this family because he believed that he was doing the right thing because these people were a threat. In other words, he crossed that line. They never crossed that line. They believed, you know, that you should have this right. This goes down to the scale of liberty. You know, when you start traversing from liberty to subjugation, you will cross that point to where you say, these people that want you to have liberty and want you to choose for yourself, they are the threat. And that's what that movie actually supports and proves. Okay, so the last two are psychological warfare, where we have the national education, the news media, and so forth, where they're doing all sorts of operations. And this is actually being prosecuted in America, psychological warfare. Subterranean warfare is when you start actually, you know, using things against people, taking control of their water, taking control of their minerals, and actually saying you can't, you know, basically mine for those minerals anymore. We're going to be dependent somewhere else. Even though we have all the resources, it's evil that we mine for it, but it's okay that China does. That right there is economic warfare using subterranean warfare as well. So when you start looking at all of these things and all of these warfare tactics, and again, this is the Constitutional Minutes. This is came out of my Constitutional Minutes. It's on my Constitutional Articles page, and it is January 23rd, 2023. So, folks, we're actually stating boldly the fact that we are under attack and they're waging broad-spectrum warfare. Refute that if you can. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.